all need encouragement at some point in time, whether it's for personal motivation, comfort, or reflection. An encouraging word can offer hope, inspiration, or a new perspective. Each week, we will explore biblical passages that will encourage and remind us of God's love, faithfulness, greatness, and sovereignty in our lives. So, let's start the week off right. I'm your podcast host, Drea, and you're now listening to Divine Exhortations. Hey, friend, and happy Monday. As always, thank you for tuning in to today's episode. I hope everyone had a good week. It was quite a difficult one, I would say, around the world. There was so much happening, so much going on. And also the weather over here in Ontario was pretty finicky. It snowed, then it was sunny, and then it got freezing cold all in one day. So, but anyways, that's on a different note. I hope this series of the Psalms has been a blessing to you like it has been for me. It's just been a joy to just unveil God's word through these songs and poems. And it's just been a blessing to my heart. And so as we close off today's series, we are looking at Psalms chapter 46. So let's get into it. So the superscription or the heading is God, the refuge of his people and conqueror for the nations. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. So remember who the sons of Korah were. They came from the family of Kohath and they were Levites. They were also involved in the musical aspect of temple worship. As it pertains to Alamoth, I'm not too sure how it's pronounced. I don't speak Hebrew, so please forgive me. Some commentaries believe that this psalm was a song designated for female or soprano voices, a choir of singing Hebrew virgin girls. Another commentary wondered if a Alamoth referred to a high-pitched string instrument. So there are different theories, but for the most part, the consensus is this was a song set for sopranos. All right, so let's read verses 1 of Psalms chapter 46, and I will be reading from the NKJV. And it reads as this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalmist in the opening of this passage confidently declares without reservation, without hesitation, and without qualification that in times of trouble, God is the one and only in whom safety, protection, and help are always found. Refuge is a place of shelter where someone can find protection from dangers of a storm or a person who runs to safety. Typically, most of the Psalms we read start off with the psalmist in a crisis or in distress. But this psalmist begins with God's protection and provision for his people. He looked to God for help in difficult times and found it. It wasn't God coupled with someone or something else, but God alone was their refuge and strength. God was their help, not from a distance, but a very present help in times of trouble. I want to pause here for a moment and further examine something. So when we look at the word present, it has different meanings. It can be an adjective or a noun. I want to zoom in, bold, underline, highlight, throw on some italics on this statement here, a very present help. Okay, a very present help. The psalmist recognizes and emphasizes the reality that occurring right now or existing right now, in this moment, right now, in your particular place, right now, God is your helper. I'll even take it a step further. And if I am reaching on this one, just follow me. present can also be a gift. And what I want to say to you today, for those that are listening, for those that are struggling right now in your difficult season, that God's gift to you is his refuge and strength. Okay, let me say it a different way. In your difficult times, God's gift to you is his refuge and strength and his help. Receive that gift for your situation today. Open that gift in confidence. Claim your present. It's yours to have right now, in this moment, in your moment, at this crossroad, in this particular juncture, not later, not next week, not even next month, but occurring right now. God is your helper. Running along to verses 2 and 3, it reads as this: therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The psalmist declares, we will not fear, and lists devastating natural disasters like volcanic eruptions or earthquakes too big for anyone to handle but God. One commentator wrote, the psalmist considered the most frightening, humbling natural phenomenon imaginable. He then made the reason estimation that God was greater than them all. If God is our refuge, strength, and present help, then there is no logical reason to fear, even in the biggest crisis. This psalmist applied a logic of faith in spite of potential chaos and devastation. And as we know in scripture, we know that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us power, he gave us love, and a sound mind. And what I found interesting is that the psalmist says, we will not fear, and then lists out various disasters, versus listing out the disasters first, then following up with, we will not fear. And here's why I'm bringing that up. I wonder, is it possible for us to view our problems first, as opposed to acknowledging our all-sufficient God? Think about how we convey those thoughts, either out loud or in our minds. How many of us run down a mental list of all the things that are going wrong in our lives first, then remember God? It should be God and everything else after. You know why? Because our difficulties or situations don't matter to God. And not in an uncaring way, but if you put God above and before your compiled list of issues, it becomes null and void. It gets canceled. And maybe I'm overexerting on this one, but it just goes back to what I was saying earlier last month in my other podcast, the reality of magnifying our God and minimizing our problems. We hear a lot of preachers and people say, but God. And yes, but God, right? Once they've listed out whatever circumstances they incurred. But what if we started off by saying, God, you are all powerful, all sufficient, and you are our refuge, our strength, and a present help in spite of what's taking place in my life today? Like the psalmist, I challenge you today to apply a logic of faith over your difficulties, over the chaos right now, over the brokenness, over the hardship. It's already been established that God is your refuge, your strength, and present help. Run into him. You'll find safety there. You'll find restoration there. You'll find peace there. You'll get your help there. In verse 10, of Psalms chapter 46. It reads as this: "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We're told God is our helper and refuge and strength earlier on in this Psalms. And now we're commanded to stop and be still and know that He is God. So the main idea here is not for us to literally stop activity and stand and be still in one place. But the consensus is that opposition and argument should stop and be still in recognition of His glory and greatness. That we are commanded to stop struggling and experience His peace. So how can we practice being still? I want to share three practical ways in which we can do so. Number one, be still in words, not speaking against or complaining about the dispensation of His providence. So we shouldn't be complaining and saying, "God, why couldn't it be more?" Or, "God, why couldn't you provide for me in this way?" All the whys and the could haves and should haves, we want to refrain from doing that. We want to change the way we speak and approach God in our circumstances. Number two, be still in actions. Our outward behavior should not oppose God in His dispensation. So for example, if you're angry with God, you know, you're unhappy, so you stop reading your Bible, excuse me, or you stop praying, right? Or you stop listening to sermons. That's not the posture that we should have. But like the psalmist said, He is a present help. And so we just need to run into Him. And if you are having a difficult time, He is so gracious and He is so understanding that you can openly say to Him, "God, I am having a hard time, and help my position to be one where I'm at Your feet." Number three, the last one, be still before God. We know Him to be God and to be a sufficient reason as to why we should be still before Him. He's a sovereign God. We should refrain from murmuring or opposing Him and instead humbly and calmly submit to Him. This is how we fulfill the duty of being still before God. Martin Luther King said this, and I quote, "We sing this song to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends His church and His word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, and the hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." In closing, we may trust in whomever we please, but ultimately, God is our refuge and strength. A help found to be reliable, powerful, and effectual in times of chaos. Because we have access to His help in pressing situations, we should recognize that He is always ready and available to us. He is a helper who is always found. Lastly, at points in time, we need to stop. We need to relax. We need to be still and know the greatness of our God. Peace or serenity only comes in the acknowledgement of God's lordship in your life and your total surrender to His will. Join with me as I close out in prayer. Lord of hosts, a strong tower and our refuge, we enthrone Your splendor and praise Your holy name. We thank You for Your word today. We were reminded of Your greatness, Your power, Your providence, Your protection, Your sovereignty, Your lordship, and Your help. I pray we will surrender to You and give You control over our difficulties. There is nothing too hard or too great for You to handle. no hardship, no famine, no natural disasters, no food, no money could ever stop or hinder your help for us. Wherever we find ourselves, you are a very present help in times of trouble. Still the waters and calm the seas that are raging in our life. Thank you for being a shelter for us. The righteous run in and we are safe. Help us to cease from complaining about all the negativity in our life and exalt you as Lord over all. We commit to being still in our words, actions, and deeds before you and resist the urge to struggle or oppose you. We accept your peace and serenity for our lives and apply faith over our devastation. We live from the vantage point of God over everything. Let this be our prayer, our song, and disposition. In Jesus' name, amen. I do hope you enjoy this series. Have a wonderful week. Much love and many blessings. Bye. Hey friend, thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate that. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I feel so special. Let's do this again. See you next week.